so please don't run with my phone. I don't have insurance on it. It costs an extra $10 a month and I'm cheap. Why are you all here? It's 11:30 at night at AnthroCon on a Saturday. Why are you all here?
We like to!
We enjoy the buffalo!
Buffalo's here!
That there is still innocence in the furry fandom. Because from somewhere over here, I heard somebody say, we don't sleep. That's not what they're insinuating!
That's my phone! Go get it!
Yes, sir, sorry. Hey, Boozy!
Normally, I would say okay, but... Yeah? Yeah? Do what thou wilt. I know what room you're sleeping in, asshole. Oh, good, I've got a 30% charge now. That'll at least get me through this bullshit.
Yeah, you know why I'm afraid of you? Because once we had the room together at a convention and you brought me breakfast in bed, it was so nice of him. I am laying in bed, half asleep. He plops down a ham, egg, and cheese croissant on my face, but I'm fine with that because, you know, ham, egg, cheese, croissant. So, when I looked over to see my friend having their breakfast, what did I find?
I was under the covers eating a chili dog, as God intended. Breakfast of champions.
Breakfast of jet engines, you asshole. I was rooming with you.
Yeah, I know, because when I got there at 2 a.m., and I thought to myself, my friend is definitely asleep. He has told me he is asleep. And I walked in, and I very quietly put my things down, and I very quietly started stripping to get into my pajamas. And as my pants were around my ankles, dick flopping in the wind, Alkali snapped on the bedside light, went, "Why, hello."
Love you.
I don't care if this isn't an all-ages panel anymore. It's 11:30 at night. If you are under 18 and in this room, your parents suck.
Boozy, these are furries. 80% of our parents suck.
That's
why do you think we found furry?
You know, that makes sense. Actually, I think that's a little low because 100% of their children do.
Ladies and gentlemen, both and neither, welcome to Convention War Stories! I'm going to let our panelists introduce themselves so they can tell you why they are sitting up here. In other words, the directions they chose in life that ended poorly. Sparf, if you please.
Hi, I'm Sparf. I am your assistant events director for this con and a vice chair of Furthermore down in Northern Virginia, D.C. Nice, hey! Thank you. It was a bad life choice. It was very bad. Also, at this con, I've granted myself a new title. I am the Hairman. That is what happens when Kage goes to bed. I become the one in charge, except that I have no authority. I just get to drink.
And you have hair.
And the best job.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, God damn it.
You literally just described being a lawyer.
I would like to introduce you to a friend I only get to see like once or twice a year, and I am so honored that I get to see you a third time and again in 2 weeks. Guys, give it up for Danny, the chairman of Brazil Fur Fest.
This year I will see you 3 times.
Yeah.
More than I see my woman, my wife in a bed. Just kidding, honey.
Yes. She's here.
Oh, she's here?
And she's here.
No, I am really glad. I'm just so glad you followed up with she's here, because I swear to God, I was about to lean in and go, well, I see her more often than that. And now I know that if I make that joke with a straight face, I'm going to die. So...
Well, go on. What should I say? I don't speak English that well, as I can see.
You're all good.
It's okay, neither does Avalon.
Yeah, no shit, right? So you're chairman of Brazil Preference. How long have you been doing that?
Since 2016, and it was one of the best decisions I ever take in my life, really.
You are a very rare chairman of Brazil Preference.
And I'm really happy you are coming to Brazil in 2 weeks.
I'm so excited.
This will be a big experience.
I don't like how you're saying that.
That was either the best threat or the best promise
we
ever.
We have so many things ready for you.
That's a threat! That's a threat!
That's a line from Hellraiser. We have such sights to
may
show
tell,
you.
May I tell about the condom? No, better not. The Brazilian condom story?
I can't wait to go to Brazil. I only know one thing about Brazil Fur Fest, and that is part of the charity involves, if they make enough money, I think I have to get a bikini wax, and I'm so terrified and excited at the same time.
Let me ask, just out of curiosity, how much is enough money?
Like $20,000.
Oh, I'm at $20,000?
Okay, let me give a follow-up. Will it be videotaped? Because I've got some equity in my house.
I thank you in the name of our charity.
Just keep your eye on Brazil Fur Fest, guys. Their charity will be up and running on their website, I'm sure, once the time comes.
Do not worry about it. Watch my Twitter. Because the moment it goes live, I'm going to spam the link everywhere.
But you're here to hear war stories, and who better to tell those to you than a lawyer? Guys, give it up for the Boozy Badger! Boozy, what have you been doing in the fandom?
Just one bad decision after another. Just so many. I'm legal here.
That was a weird way to say that.
Yeah. I'm the chairman of BasementCon, which started as a joke on Twitter to make fun of other conventions, and now we have a venue and insurance, and I'm not sure how the hell that happened. By the way, I just want to point you out, how many people here are familiar with the BasementCon Twitter account? How many people believe that I am posting this shit on the BasementCon Twitter account? Okay, let me just be really clear. I gave that password out to like 15 people.
And we all love you for it.
And like when you look at it and there's a post from BasementCon and then it's me like, which one of you fuckers posted this? I know you're all thinking I'm doing a bit, but I'm not. I genuinely don't know who posted that and I'm a little angry. In addition to that, on non-convention sides, I am the president of a non-profit theater group. I serve on several non-profit boards of directors. I also provide not legal services, but consulting services to a couple other conventions as well that I will not name.
Fair enough. My name's Al Kalai. I'm the former chairman of First Squared. I have been staffing on board of directors of conventions for years. I do a lot of MC work and work with a lot of comedians, and I genuinely get to have a lot of fun with this, and that's one of the most important things. So before we even get started, I just want to tell you, if any of you are interested in ever helping out and getting on to that staff or even a board position, it all starts with volunteering. So if you're ever looking for something to do at a con, don't forget, we are always looking for volunteers, and we really appreciate the help. It's a great way to get started with staff in other directions. And also to come up with so many convention war stories, it's not even funny. Because when volunteers are involved and they do the silly, wonderful things that volunteers do, like rewiring the Fur-Squared video game room to be in conjunction with the Artemis room, so people were just screaming across my hotel, screaming at the top of their lungs as they are playing a spaceship simulator with six people trying to fly it from two different rooms on walkie-talkies that aren't working. A volunteer created, sponsored, and coordinated that masterpiece of a shit show that I could not have been more proud of. And the hotel liaison, as they looked at me and said, "What are you going to do about this?" couldn't help but smile as I said, "Probably play around." Guys, you've been in the convention circuit for a very long time. One of those wonderful moments, shit show turned fun. Do you guys have any shit show turned fun stories for us?
They get to turn fun.
Sometimes, it's rare. Sparf, you look like you had one.
Yeah, so at Furthermore, several years ago, we were in this new hotel. We had just moved. And I am the sort of staffer, like, I was the director of programming at the time. And I'm roaming around the hotel looking for things that I can fix. Looking, this is about, like, 2 in the morning. And down the hall, I have found things on the walls. I'll tell you about one of those later. I felt like I'm fixing little things. You know, the attendees are doing great. It's been a great, been a stressful weekend, but I don't want to go to bed because if I go to bed, something will go wrong. So, in the distance, I'm shortcutting through the attendee room hallway and back to, and I hear this distant singing, this otherworldly, beautiful melody, and like the music of a stringed instrument, and I'm like, what is, there is no programming. It is 2:30 in the morning. There is no programming in my convention. What is going on? And I'm like walking around trying to find this. I walk into ConOps. There is a harpist and 3 other individuals, including my ops director, harmonizing Far Over the Misty Mountains from The Hobbit, with the full text from the book, not the short one in the movie. And I sat down and nearly wept. It was one of the most sublime moments I have ever had. And when I feel really terrible, I think back to that this beautiful music. That was actually, may have been the first year you were there.
And I know who the harpist was.
Yes.
I know the harpist was because the first year I went to Furthermore, they gave me a handler. And a handler is when you don't know how somebody's going to behave at a convention. And you need them places. You give them someone to get them to those places, okay? And really to kind of make sure they don't see the weird shit. And yet that year I had just fallen into the panel. They didn't know what to expect, so they gave me this wonderful young lady named Harper. And Harper was to be my handler, and when they introduced me to Harper, I looked them dead in the eyes and said, "I'm going to make your life a living hell, for I am here to see the weird shit." And Harper just materialized out of thin air every time I got close to seeing the weird shit. But that was the year that I threw a room party that security got shut down.
I forgot about that.
Because the reason Harper was in ConOps was several people and I had been in my room with Harper and some other folks enjoying libations and conversation. And Harper said, "Oh, I actually play the harp," and pulled a harp out and began to slowly play Celtic ballads on the harp. As we're all sitting there, this beautiful, high-class affair, right? And then, hotel security opened the door. Yes? "There's no parties allowed on this floor." And I'm looking back, and I'm like, we're sipping scotch, we have a harpist. And I'm like, "I'm sorry, good sir." My My friends, the constabulary has advised me. So I left.
You're a lawyer. You should have convinced him it was a shindig. This isn't a party. It's a hootenanny.
So we got everybody out. They went down to Conops. I went to bed. Now, about a year and a half later, I told this story to my good friend next to me, and he looked at me and he said, Will, are you telling me you came into the furry fandom, went to your first fur con, and immediately started a room party with a traditional Celtic harper playing ballads in the back of the room? I'm like, yeah. He goes, your parties are classy as fuck.
I love that their room party got shut down because we all make mistakes. The Dorsai regulars are a security team that works a lot of convention. They keep a little logbook, and they love to point out one of their favorite entries. A ununiformed police officer showed up at Indy FurCon's operation and said, hey, you've got a panhandler in your lobby collecting money in a top hat. And security went, that's our director of finance. Cop didn't come back next year. We all make little mistakes, don't we, Danny?
Oh, yeah. I have a story from Brazil Fur Fest 2017. And, well, I'm the chairman, and I'm responsible for a lot of things. And Brazil Fur Fest is a small, it's a cozy convention. Cozy convention. Yeah, it's a small convention compared to all of these. We are nothing. Anyway, in 2017, I was the chairman and responsible for putting all the decoration around the hotel, around the lobby, around the foyer. And I made a big mistake.
What?
I used it permanent. Double layer tape.
Oh!
All around the hotel.
Oh!
That was the beginning of that weekend because we had the convention after I put the decoration, right? And during the fursuit parade, I was walking with my big fursuit. You saw my big fursuit. It's a big bunny with big hips and a big butt. Well, Brazil is about butts, right? Right? It's a stereotype. Stereotypes, people. And my fursuit.
Did you break the escalator?
We don't have escalator.
Shut up. I want to hear more about the butts.
The butt is part of the story because I was walking in the fursuit parade with my big butt fursuit. And I stomped. I fell with my fursuit. And I dislocated my knee.
Oh my God!
When they tried to put me up, it's a lot of foam. I turned my knee out of place. It hurt as hell. But oh, yeah. It hurt more when I put back I did myself to put back.
Exactly.
Yeah. It hurted a lot.
Let me ask you, I have to, because I've done that before. How far to the side was your kneecap?
Here.
Yep.
Oh!
Yep.
Oh!
It hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fursuiting is dangerous. Now I get what you guys like.
It's not. It's just when you have a big butt.
I got that covered, Dan!
Well, I had a good staff member who was doctor, and he was really fast to get me a wheelchair. And I got a nice nickname, Wheelchair Man.
Wheelchair.
I spent all the weekend as Wheelchair Man, and all the decoration was there, beautiful. And I was in a wheelchair. And Patsy, my wife, that I see three times on bed every year. It's less than that.
It's less than that. Well, it is after you tell everyone, yeah, that's how that works.
She's my vice chairman. If people could please applaud. She's the main gear of the podcast. Anyway, at the end of convention, we all crying at the closing ceremonies. I was crying of emotion, of pain. And, well, said, see you next year. Started to play Fox and Peppers next year song, whatever. And the hotel manager came to us and said, hey, there is a problem with your decoration. We are taking the decoration and pieces of the wall is coming with the decoration. A lot of holes around the hotel. We were crying, so we started crying even more. And Patsy was desperate because, as you can imagine, we are from Brazil. Brazil is not... We are from Brazil, we are not as welfare as you guys. You have millions of dollars to host the convention.
Rich fucking firms. We
We don't. So we wouldn't have the money to fix the hotel. So we start crying for real. And Patsy desperate came to me and said, Danny, you did a shit.
You did a shit,
you did a shit. And now, who is going to pay for the wall? And I told her, Mexico.
I just gotta ask, because the last time we heard that, no.
It was 2017.
You know what? Wouldn't that have been the best fuck you, though? Like, if Mexico's like, you know what? No, we'll pay for the furry hotel.
Now, we've got something special for you guys. Danny had mentioned Fox and Pepper because not all convention war stories happen from a staff standpoint. Sometimes it's one of the guests. Ladies and gentlemen, both and neither, give it up for Pepper Coyote!
I got one. This is one guy who can tell a lot of things about Brazil Fur Fest.
The fact that you keep an on-site wheelchair for me would shock me if Eurofurins did not keep an on-chair wheelchair for me.
I must say we are good about wheelchairs in Brazil.
Well, I mean, your healthcare, you've heard about ours. Eurofurins did not keep the wheelchair because I was drunk at Eurofurins. They kept it because I broke my foot on stage while dancing the Running Man. At Eurofurins. That wheelchair was originally intended for a grandmother Kage who was not attending. Imagine if me and Kage was like, all right, ma'am, come on up, sit on my lap, we're cruising around together. I am now your chauffeur. Actually, you know what? You can steer. Here's a bridle and a whip. We're getting weird. So in 2000, and I think 10, you'll probably, a couple people on the stage may be able to correct me as to the exact year. It's either 2010 or 2011. I was attending my first ever convention ever, AnthroCon. Have you heard of it?
Yes.
Woo! I'm drinking some regional beverage. It's called Iron City.
Iron City!
So, I was attending my first ever AnthroCon. And I started receiving some strange questions. People said, are you Mr. P? In 2010 and or 11 or 9, I don't think it was 09, that's too early, I was kind of in high school, it was at least a year after that. Somebody decided it would be a fun time to, I'm falling off of the balcony into the river, I have swung mine leg and mine other leg. And I am dangling, it's so funny! So, DLCC staff saw that, and the cops saw that, and our dear chairman had to deal with that immediately. Do we know what year I'm talking about yet? Am I making this up? Did this even happen? Someone here remembers this happened. Okay, if you remember the year, yell it. Was it 010 or... 12? There's no way it was 12.
We've got people saying 12, 05, and 2010. So I have a feeling this has happened multiple fucking times.
So I...
We all get our... Oh, so, yes, again, this is an original beverage. It is a delicacy. It is called Iron City. Do you know that the... Pittsburgh used to manufacture things? Other than hipsters and web designers? I'm not bitter. So anyway, it is 2001, and someone has swung their leg over a boozy bear banister.
Thank you.
Right. And,
that'll happen later tonight, too.
Realize, the fallout of this in the end, like, what it took, this was a convention of maybe 3,000 or 4,000-ish people, and with the Phantom in general was still kind of, like, precarious. I don't know if that's exactly the right word, but, you know, we still have, like, something to prove. It's like, we promise we're not psychopaths. We're just, like, people want to have fun. We're nerds. We're gentle. We are far less aggressive than a country western band. And it was a humongous deal that someone was doing this, and they're like, guys, you can't... Is this just going to turn into a crazy frat party? So the act that the OCC took was, you are now blocked from all balconies... always, forever, and Kage was like, this is the deal I negotiated after 12 hours of blood, sweat, and fear.
My boy,
let us talk. We can do that because he's been in bed since like 4.
Yeah. So, knowing what I know now, when people were asking me, I am now attending my first con. There's a little bit of like, almost like street, no, like, do you guys know that guy? We all kind of know each other, so when something sus is going on, hello children, when something sus is going on, we're like, do you know them? They have a history of being sus or cringe. I'm walking around my first con ever, no one knows who the fuck I am, and they're asking me if I am Mr. P, and I am wearing a badge that says this. It says Pepper. That's what the badge says. And if I knew what I knew now, I would say... If I was Mr. P, I would not be speaking to you. I would be taking my place, injected into the sun.
That's far too expensive for our con, my boy. You'd go into the Allegheny River. I told you I'm the hairman.
This.
So, one of the things that is really good about the people who run Furry Fandoms is we all help each other. There's actually a group that's still in effect to this day, the Furry Leadership Roundtable, a group that actually gets together and just exchanges ideas from convention to convention. Just so that we all know what works, what doesn't. It really makes the experience better. And sometimes it goes way beyond even that.
With the exception of Basement Con. They apparently have discussed admitting Basement Con and decided as a group against it.
They saw our Twitter account, Brucey.
I will not name the large convention that we made fun of once, and then we got a message from their social media department that said, hey, could you stop? And our response was, well, we'll stop naming you. But we're not going to stop making fun of you. And just because you asked, we're going to give you a code word so you know we are definitely making fun of you. So if any tweet from Basement Con ever ends with hoot hoot, or the picture of the owl door from Owl House, we're making fun of that one con.
I love our Twitter account so much. Sometimes we need a lot more help. Boozy, have you ever helped me out with problematic attendees?
Stop me if you've heard this one. Several years ago, this wonderful gentleman, when he was the chairman of First Square, brought me out, had me perform. It was a wonderful time. I enjoyed everything. Then I got home. And my plane had been on the ground for 1 hour when he sent me a message. And it read, hey, buddy, would you mind flying out here in a couple weeks and helping me with something? And I said, well, that depends. What is it? And he sent back, I need you to say yes first. I do not make good decisions. Because I trust him. And I said, yes. And he said, great, check your email. And in my email was two logs. One was the door size security log for First Squared that year. The other was the hotel security log for First Squared that year. And those were two completely different events, according to the logs. Because the door side log was fursuiter drunk in lobby, assisted them back to room, verified, do not need medical, all okay. Found person smoking in parking lot, was not cigarette, advised them to put it out. Ambulance called, transport to hospital, checked in, they are okay, just overheated. The hotel security log said things like, we received a report of hotel room door open with man on bed with line of 10 other men wearing strap-ons running a train on him. Police called, gentlemen threw bag of weed in guard's face, screaming, shasha, and ran. Rooms under renovation found open, many items inside. I did not ask for clarification. And my personal favorite. On Sunday morning, it was reported to the front desk that on Saturday night, a crowd of people were gathered around two men in the lobby engaging in oral sex while the crowd chanted, eat the meat, eat the meat, eat the meat. I closed those documents and I got back to him and said, what the fuck? And he said, nothing. He said nothing. Because what he sent me was my plane ticket confirmation code. What was going on was the hotel had contacted Alkali almost immediately after the convention. Basically saying, here's our log, we're going to terminate your contract. And we want to have a meeting about this. And Alkali, knowing that I, at that point, negotiated a lot of contracts, had brought me in not as an attorney, but as kind of a consultant to help them through that situation, tell them how to handle it. So I flew in, and he picked me up at the airport, and we went back to his house. And I started going over some of the things with him. I said, well, first of all, these are two wildly different logs. They refer to the door side as just attendees and berets. I feel like we should have a member of the door side there to discuss what the door side actually is and that they're a professional security force. When we're going through the other things, it all says things like it was reported to us. We were told that there's not a single account of a hotel employee seeing this, so we need to lean pretty heavy on that. And finally, I said, and the third thing is, we just need to bring up how ridiculous some of these things are. And he goes, yo, no, that's a good plan. I said, okay. So the next morning, all the people who are going, myself, Alkali, John the Human, representative from the door side, and the current co-con chair of First Squared, Dragor, meet at Alkali's, we get in the car, we stop to get coffee, and we are driving to Wisconsin. And I use the ride as a way to go over the strategy with the man. When we get there, let me talk. because we're going to bring up that's all hearsay, there's no first-hand accounts. We're going to bring up, that the door size professional force, and we're going to bring up how ridiculous these things are. I mean, look at these accounts. They all sound like something out of a cartoon, like this one. The guy in the hotel room, who's getting a train ran on him by 10 obviously assigned male at birth people, all of whom are wearing a strap-on. Why would they need strap-ons if they were assigned male at birth? And from the back, Dragor goes, well, you know wearables are a thing, Boozy. And I turned and said, maybe you don't fucking talk at the meeting. So after we got back on the road from Alkali driving us through a goddamn cornfield.
It was really funny, dude. It was really good.
After we get back on the road, we get to the hotel. And we walk in and we go down to the meeting. And everybody does their introductions. And there are three representatives of the hotel there. There is the general manager. There is the events manager, and there is the food and beverage manager. And they sit down at the conference table. They're on one side, we're on the other side, and they bring out a binder. A binder. I would like to make a brief segue. Attendees fuck up at conventions. All right. If security has to be called to tell you to calm things down, you fucked up. If they take you to con ops to talk to you about it, you fucked up. If they take you to con ops and call the chairman, you fucked up. If legal becomes aware of it, you fucked up. They open this binder, they start to go through it, and the very first thing they're doing is they're going, oh, we have all these reports of room damage, and you know, look at these pictures, look at those pictures, and here's the rooms that were under renovation, and somebody obviously broke in the doors, and I let them go for a little bit. And then I say, well, let me ask you, first, the rooms that were under renovation, you say they were all locked, and they go, yeah. I go, no, they weren't. They go, well, sir, I said, I know they weren't because you put me in the wing that was under renovation, and the very first thing I did was I walked across the hall to one of the rooms under renovation, and I pushed on it, and the door just swung open. And they, well, that may have just been, that's a contractor trick. You block the lock so you don't have to keep unlocking and relocking the door when you're taking stuff in and out. Your contractors forgot to remove their door blocks. So we weren't the only people in the hotel, so you can't pin that on us. You had a high school group in the hotel that same weekend. Probably more likely the high schoolers found unlocked rooms and partying in them than us. Two, this list of rooms that you have all the damage on, do you have the room numbers? We can get that for you. Have you cross-referenced it with our attendees list to see who was in those rooms? We can get that for you. So you don't have any of that. No, okay. So we're not considering any of that. You don't have anything to back up that that was us. We're not considering any of it. Now let's talk about eat the meat. Now let's talk about eat the meat. Their reaction at that point, and I shit you not, was the general manager closed the binder, who slid it over to the event manager, who picked it up and did this, and handed it to the food and beverage manager, who put it under his chair. I went into it, I said, these reports are ridiculous. Nobody threw weed in a cop's face and ran. There'd be a police report. We talked to the police. They don't have a list of this call. The guy in the room with the 10 people running a train on him with strap-ons, that's just not believable. Why would 10 men need to wear strap-ons to run a train? And then I glared at fucking Dragor. Who, to his credit, stay fucking quiet. I said, and eat the meat. I've been in your hotel. I know the layout of your lobby. Here is the front desk. Here is the seating area. Here is the bar. That's it. It's a giant open space. But it says here that had to be reported to you on Sunday morning. Are you telling me that in your lobby, you you had two people blowing each other with a crowd chanting, "Eat the meat," and nobody on your staff thought they should report it? And they're at this point just quiet, except the food and beverage manager, who does not like me at this moment in time, and says, "Well, my bartender said they saw it." I said, "Your bartender saw two guys blowing each other and somebody had to tell you about it in the morning? That sounds like a staff problem to me." After we cowed them down, we got down to brass tacks. It was very, very obvious that what they really wanted to do, they didn't want to terminate the contract. There were some parts of the contract that had become too expensive for them to provide, but they were bound to provide it for the next 2 years. So what they were trying to do was find a way to get out of the current contract and renegotiate a new contract that removed some of the...
breakfast.
Yeah, they were trying to get rid of free breakfast. And they got rid of free breakfast. I hate to announce that they did get that. But we renegotiated the contract. How'd that turn out?
I don't pay for event space to this day.
We gave them what they wanted. They wanted to renegotiate the contract. But we made them look like assholes before we started that part of the conversation, so they gave up so much. Because at that point it was clear that it was no longer, "We're afraid you won't let us hold the event in your hotel anymore, but you're making this so difficult, we're not really sure we want to hold the event in your hotel anymore." And it also became clear that the real issue with all that stuff wasn't the hotel so much as they had booked a Christian high school lacrosse team that same weekend. And the lacrosse team and their parents were not happy the furries were there. So they were just making shit up.
Yeah.
And badly.
Yeah, very badly. It happens. It's shitty, man, sometimes, but on the other hand, there's some weird magical moments that happen in hotels. I was at a convention. I was using the restroom. I walk in, there are two youths at the sink, and one of them looks at me and yells, "You know where I can buy any weed?" His friend immediately, "Dude, that's the finance director." And to his friend's credit said, "That means he should know where I can get it cheap." It's very logical. But I tell that story just to have this segue. Sparf, what happened to you in a bathroom?
You're going to need to be more specific.
Fun fact, the classier the place is, the more the bathroom doors go from floor to ceiling. Anyway, sometimes attendees misbehave, right? Cons don't want to ban people, like, who are just having a good time, right? Now, and we also don't talk about who or why, right? We just don't do that. You're never going to hear who or why. There's all kinds of, we got lawyers for that reason. But when it happens, sometimes the actual discussions are the fun part. There was an incident at Furthermore several years ago. I won't disclose the incident. It was a fairly serious incident, required board intervention. I'm on the board as well as the con staff. We had to find a place to have a board meeting, and it was a sensitive topic. We couldn't find a place to have a board meeting because ConOps was occupied. The rest of the rooms on that floor were the dealer's room, the artist's alley, the panel rooms, the art show. We are in desperate need of a place to have a fucking board meeting because we need to discuss the events around this attendee. And we're like, "What's that door?" It was an all-gender bathroom, single-hole bathroom. So seven of us climb into the his bathroom and start to call the meeting to order. The secretary's in the corner trying to take the minutes with a golf pencil. So we're having our discussion. We're like, well, this is, you know, has the police been called or something? Things, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, we don't have that information handy. Can you get it on your phone? Our phones don't get signal because all of the cell towers in the immediate area are on the roof of this hotel. So there is no signal to the cell phones. We have to be on the Wi-Fi. The Wi-Fi is dead to us because, you know, hotel Wi-Fi. So they're like, all right, I know my computer works on it. I know my computer works on it. All right, go get your computer. So one of us goes to get a computer. They get they bring in a Republic of Gaming laptop. It's giant. We're all in this little bathroom, huddled around a screen, and it doesn't work. It doesn't talk to the internet. All right, next person. I've got an iPad. I know it's connected. I was just using it before we called the meeting. All right, go get your iPad. Go get the iPad. Nobody takes the other laptop out. So now there's two screens. We're all cuddled around it. And we're like, oh, no. That's on my corporate Google Drive, which isn't signed in on the iPad. So finally, after like two or three more attempts, it's getting hot in there, like fursuit, headless zone with no fans hot. And we finally get a device that has this. We're like, all right, we've got the template. We'll write the ban letter. Oh, wait, we have to have the vote. All right. We got to follow Robert's Rules of Order now. So is there a motion for the ISO motion? All right, excellent. Do I have a second? I second. Who was that? Secretary's trying to write with a golf pencil. The golf pencil breaks. They're like, I know who it is. All right. All in favor? Aye. All right. We'll type the letter. We're trying to get out. We're so squeezed in there that we can't really turn the latch anymore because of the extra computers. So it took us like 2 minutes to open the door. We fall out like it's a fucking clown car. And our head of security is standing there going, yeah, I got something I need to talk to the board about. And we said, you can wait. Fun times. Oh my God, Smart. Oh my God.
The worst part is, I love that there's another bathroom story that I was reminded of while Smart was speaking. And that bothers the shit out of me. Because we like to have fun too, and I just remembered this because I went back to my room one night and Zan was throwing a room party that Zan apparently was not at. As I walked through our single room, Zan was nowhere to be found until I went to the bathroom, where Zan was holding the trans room party. 7 people of the trans persuasion had decided they had taken over the bathroom and were chanting, trans party, trans party, trans party, over and over, until I opened the door to where they booed me. In unison, which was beautiful. My friend came into the room, also of the trans persuasion. They said hi and dragged her into the bathroom and chanted, trans party, trans party, trans party. And let me tell you, there are very few weirder ways to find out that your next door neighbor is the head of security. Danny, your cons have to be very different. What's something that's just different about Brazil?
I would say we Brazilians are very different from you Americans. You are all formal, and Brazilians are informal. As you can see, all of them are wearing beautiful t-shirts, beautiful shirts, beautiful things. I'm wearing a soccer jersey.
Okay, Dan, just real quick, I don't walk around in a suit all the time. I had a bit earlier.
But you look beautiful. You look like a soccer player.
And Danny thinks I'm beautiful. There we go, right over there, yeah.
We are all stylish. Guys, the biggest difference from Brazil to United States maybe is formality or informality. I will tell a story inside another story, may I?
Absolutely.
And we have in Brazil a panel with co-chairs that is very similar to this one, and it's named Convention War Stories, something like that.
Yes.
It's very similar. And I was telling a story of... that's very inappropriate. Are you okay with inappropriate stories? I love this audience. I always want to say that. Well, we had this panel, and I was telling a story of a deaf attendee to Brazil Fur Fest in 2018. He was there at the charity auction, bidding for everything. And we were like, is he understanding what is happening? Because he was bidding for everything and he was not listening to the bids. He was bidding over himself. That was very weird.
That's confusing.
And confusing, yeah. We were like asking our staff members to come to him with a Telegram chat to talk to him and ask if he was understanding things. And he said, yes, it's an auction. I want to bid to charity. Okay, he's a nice guy. A very nice guy. Until we had Foxes and Peppers CD collection to be auctioned. And the guy was deaf. And he was bidding over himself to get Foxes and Peppers CD collection.
Oh my God.
1 minute. The art of the covers are amazing, right?
Yeah.
He would be trying to get the art, right, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he got it. He got the full collection of Foxes and Peppers CDs. And we were like, well, the art is beautiful. Maybe he's not about the music. It's about the art.
Yeah.
Well, 2 years items later, we had a headphone with ears. And the deaf guy started bidding. Ruby, my other vice chairman who's not here, came to me desperate. Danny, why the deaf guy is bidding on the earphones with ears? I said, well, to listen to Fox and Pepper CD collection. It's a good story, right? It's a good story. I was telling that story in our Convention Horror Stories panel last year. Uncle Kage was there.
Oh, cool.
Uncle Kage was our guest drinker of honor, whatever. He drank a lot of caipirinhas, you have no idea. He and Pepper Coyote, we had to take him in a wheelchair from the stage. I'll tell you later. And Uncle Kage was there, I was telling this very story to him and for the audience, like you guys. And at certain point, who enters the room? The deaf guy. The deaf guy entered the room and Uncle Kage came to me like, Danny, will you continue to tell the story of the deaf guy? And the audience, come on, Kage, he's deaf, he's not going to understand.
Oh, holy shit!
The audience, that is Brazil.
A while ago, my friend, like he told you, started the anti-convention Basement Con. And I had the pleasure and honor of calling him a year later and saying, you're an idiot if you're going to do this, you need insurance, I put one in your name, I own your convention, I've made a mistake, I'll help you stop being dumb.
Alright, so here's the fun part about that. What he said was, for legal reasons, Dragon Incorporated owns Basement Con. And I said, number one, I'm perfectly okay with that. We're just going to make it big letters, Basement Con, tiny letters, presented by Dragon Inc. Number two, why for legal reasons? And he goes, well, you needed insurance. And I went, oh, okay. And
And I said, who signed for the insurance? And he said, well, me. That's why it's a subsidiary of Dragon Inc. I said, so you signed for the insurance? He goes, yeah. I go, my name's nowhere on the insurance. He goes, no. I go, what about the venue contract? Who signed that? He goes, well, I had to because I had to show them the insurance. And I said, so your name's on the venue contract? Yeah, my name's nowhere on the venue contract. He said, yes. I said, you understand what you just told me, correct? And darling Danny's wife, that's how you keep your fucking name off the contract. Just act inept enough that one of your friends who is much more prepared than you makes themselves legally liable for the damages.
So we're having a bouncy castle, right?
No! Yeah! No! It's a literal checkbox on insurance policies to have a bouncy castle. You don't understand how scary a checkbox can be until you see all the zeros that come after a two.
I am convinced, though, that in order to get insurance for Basement Gun, he had to lie about where it is. And let me set the scene. You are closer to Basement Gun than you think. Right now, Basement Gun is held in the mountains of Western Pennsylvania. However, there is no way to get to Basement Con from Pittsburgh without driving through New York. How does this happen? Well, the venue website tells you how it happens, which is don't follow any of the maps. The roads that lead to the lodge are all one-lane overgrown logging roads. Your car will not get by them and take this route. There is one route to get to Basement Con. You have to drive all the way to the northwest edge of Pennsylvania, go into New York, circle around and find the one dirt road that isn't a 100-year-old logging road, and then drive back into Pennsylvania up that road. A few miles down that road, you are going to find the lodge. The lodge was built at some point in the 60s. It was built by the current owner's grandfather as, and I quote from his tour he gave us the first time we went there, a snowmobile excursion lodge. And then he was quiet and said, that didn't work out too well, which definitely tells me there are corpses in the woods tied to snowmobiles, by the way. They turned it into a cross-country skiing lodge after that. Now, the entire first floor of this lodge is a full-service restaurant. It has a bar, it has a giant, very dated seating area, it has eating areas, it has a piano that for some reason they just locked down with a chain. There's a box of flesh on the wall.
What?
Just random box of flesh. And it is decorated like Cracker Barrel, but if Cracker Barrel married the Saw film franchise. Like, there's axes on the wall, and you're like, oh, they're decorative, and then you take them down, like, oh, no, these have an edge. Somebody has sharpened these. Like, saw blades hanging from the ceiling. Saw blades hanging from the ceiling.
It wasn't okay. Do you have any idea how much a head wound bleeds?
Hello, museum. Play a game.
On the upstairs are the rooms, and the rooms are okay. Each one has its own bathroom. I want to say that's something. Now, the bathrooms were obviously an afterthought and added into a closet in each room. I know this because it's the only time in my life I've had to have one foot in the shower and one foot at the door to poop. All right? This is Basement Con's venue. We arrive,
in the middle of nowhere. The first year, the owner gives us a tour of the lodge, and he's showing us everything. He's pointing stuff out. We go into the kitchen. It's got a full, like, commercial kitchen in there with a meat locker, and he looks at us and he goes, "Don't eat the meat in the meat locker."